Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Unshakable Faith.
Acts the 20th chapter, Acts 20 and verse 24, for the sake of time, Acts 20 and verse 24, Paul says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." None of these things move me. The context is they were telling Paul, don't you go to Jerusalem. Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, this can happen, that can happen. People not going to like you. You're going to get opposition. They may put you in prison. They may try to persecute you. And Paul said, I got an assignment from God, and none of these things move me. And we've been talking from the subject of the last several Wednesdays of unshakable faith. When you have unshakable faith, nothing moves you from your position of faith. And we said to be unshakable in your faith, it means to have faith that's not easily drawn away, to have faith that's not easily moved, to be thoroughly convinced and fully persuaded. And then we gave you more specifically three things that characterize unshakable faith, and that is to be non-wavering. Non-wavering, because James 1 and 6 and 7 says you got to ask in faith, not wavering. If you wave, it says you're, when you think of wavering, just think of a wave. A wave goes up and down. There's no specific direction to a wave. It goes up and down. He said, and that's how you are in your faith. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Maybe God loves me, maybe he don't. I'm headed this way, but maybe I'm headed that way. And you don't have a position of faith that you are steadfast in. The Bible says that let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So we have to be non-wavering in our faith. That's what it means to have unshakable faith. Then we said, based upon Romans 4:21, that to be have unshakable faith means to be fully persuaded. Everybody say fully persuaded. And we're going to talk more about that tonight, looking back, hindsight, on how Abraham and Sarah got to the point of having the manifestation. The Bible says in Romans 4:21, Abraham being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. God is a God who promises and he performs what he promises. Paul put it this way in another place. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who started us believing in the first place. He's the one who gave us the promise that we're standing on in the first place. He's the author and he's the finisher. And then we also said that to have unshakable faith means to be immovable. Everybody saying immovable. Immovable. Again, Acts 4 and verse 24. None of these things move me. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Psalm 16:8. I've set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Another place of that verse, Psalm 16 and verse 8 from the New Living Translation says, I will not be shaken. Not going to be shaken. And so if we're going to have unshakable faith, we said that we have to take the measure of faith according to Romans 12 and 3. Let not any man think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God starts us all out with faith. You got to take your hand of faith and work it. You got to work your hand. Everybody say, work your hand. You know, if you can play spades real good, I don't know how to play spades, but I told y'all, I know if you're black, supposed to know how to play spades, right? Okay. I felt sorry when I was watching, Family Feud one day, and it said, name a card game. And the black fan, bitch! I said, I knew they were going to say, spades! Spades. So y'all said, y'all know everybody don't play spades? That's a black people game. Y'all didn't know that? Everybody don't play spades? Y'all didn't know that? Y'all really didn't know that? That is not like a universal card game. That come from the hood. That family would look just like y'all. Well, what other kind of game is there? But the person who starts off with the worst hand can end up winning. Amen. It's all a matter of the strategy of how you play. And you have to, and God gives us all the measure of faith, and you have to take your hand, even if you was born in the project, born in the trailer park, born on welfare, live your whole life not having anything. Once you get a hold of this word of faith, you grab hold to it and you play your hand by line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You play your hand till you come out with victory. Amen. God dealt with him. So your faith has to grow. You start off with the measure, but your faith can grow and your faith can increase. Amen. Because according to Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look at this way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. The more you hear, provided that you are not just listening with these appendages on the side of your head, but you're listening with ears that are ready to hear and receive the word of God. Remember, Jesus said that, right? Jesus said, let him that has ears to hear. Okay? When he's talking about ears to hear, he's talking about people who are hungry for the word. People who are waiting for God to speak to them. People who know that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. People who listen to God's word, because we say there's answers in God's word. And when I come to church, I'm going to get a word from God. I'm confused and I don't know what to do about my problem, my family, my situation, my finance, my job. But when I get to church tonight, I believe God going to put a word in my pastor's mouth, in a man or woman of God's mouth, and I'm going to get the answers I need for my situation. I'm telling y'all learn to come to church like that. Those rabbit trails I think I'm taking ain't going to be rabbit trails. It's going to be your trail. And that often happens. That often happens. And so when you have ears to hear, you're waiting to receive a word from the Lord. And so when you have ears to hear and you keep listening to the word, folks, because you want the word to get down in your heart and your spirit, is going to grow. So Paul thanks the church, 2 Thessalonians 1:3. He says, the church of Thessalonica, he says, I'm bound to thank God for you, brethren, as is meet or appropriate for me to, because your faith groweth how? Exceedingly. Everybody say, my faith can grow exceedingly. He said, I'm overwhelmed with how rooted and grounded and how far you have come in your faith, because your faith groweth exceedingly. So you don't have to stay at the same level of faith. I was listening to someone last week. It was actually Rick Joyner. He's written a lot. Pretty much anything he writes, I recommend that y'all read. The book that he has out right now. The book he has right now is not called God Chaser, but it's really talking about pursuing God. And he would say, anytime you see somebody who's been saved for a long time and they have not changed, it's because they really don't have a relationship with the Lord. There's no way you can get saved, pursue God, and don't change. Because when you get in his presence, what happened when Isaiah got in his presence? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And I said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean. When you really have an encounter with God and you see his holiness in light of your sin, you want to change. Anybody, so all you folk coming, I'm just waiting God to change me. I'm just waiting God to take cigarettes away. I'm just waiting God to make me stop committing adultery. No, no. If you press in his presence, if I can just press in your presence, that's what, and that's Shannon Wilson's song, right? You got to press in his presence. When you really get in his presence, you got to change. When you tell me you can get in the presence of God and don't change, you're not in his presence enough. If you press in his chain, in the presence, you can't get like Isaiah. Woe is me. I need to change. I want to be more like you. The angels are crying, holy, 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 holy. And so when you press in his presence, your faith is going to increase. Amen. So let's look at, we talked about Abraham last week. I want to go back and talk about Abraham, because Abraham had to grow in faith. Now, we looked at Romans 4, Romans 4 and 2. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. That's hindsight. That's not foresight. That's not where Abraham started out. He didn't start out fully persuaded. He had to grow in his faith. And if you're going to get the manifestation of all the promises, everybody say all the promises. I believe you can have manifestation of all the promises in your life. Let me say that again. I believe you can have manifestation of all the promises of God in your life. People say you can't have it all. You may not have it all at one time, but throughout your life, you can see, I saw God show up in my body. I saw God show up in my family. I saw God show up with my children. I've seen God show up in my finances. I know that God, you know, the old folks that had experience with God, they would get up and tell you, I know him as a way maker. I know him as a healer. I know that he's a doctor in the sick room. I know he can be your lawyer in your courtroom. I found out God is bread when you're hungry. Why? Because they've been through enough with God to say, I don't care what situation I'm in, God comes through and I see him manifest. Just got to keep on walking with them. Got to keep on having experience with them. So Abraham's faith did not start off fully persuaded. Let's back up. I'm back up even beyond what I put in my notes. Let's back up to the initial encounter that Abraham has that I often go to, Genesis 12. In Genesis 12, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, and go to a land I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I'll make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed. So God first speaks to him. Now, watch this. As you walk with God, purpose becomes clearer. Many times God will, We have some ministers who just finished our school of ministry, and I was looking over some paperwork some of them have completed, and some of them said things like, I know I'm called, but I don't know exactly what I'm called to do. I know I'm called, but I don't know what office of ministry I'm called to yet. Well, you're going to find that out as you go. Because many times when we start off our walk with God, you start off with general directions without specific directives. General directions without specific directives. Take a job in Columbia, South Carolina. Okay, God, that don't quite line up. Start a church here in a church in Columbia. Okay. Well, where's the church supposed to be? What side of town? I don't know. I didn't know one side of town from another one. One. You know, y'all know you can even just ride up and down here on Broad River now. Is all you pass several churches even up in this area. When we started up in this area, we were the only church, particularly predominantly black church in this area. Even though I told y'all I keep telling y'all I wasn't trying to have black church, right? Y'all black people just the ones showed up. Much love. I love my people and everything, but I can just have y'all in mind. I had whoever God gonna send. But for some reason, y'all just keep showing up. I guess based upon the principle, everything's produced after his own kind. And somebody said to me, after our church started growing years later, he said, Bailey, man, that was smart. That was smart for you to place a black church up in that area, man. Nobody else had done that up in that area. Well, if I was smart, it wasn't me being smart. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know one area from the other, from next. I told y'all when we came to town, I was looking in the phone book trying to find churches, and I kept seeing Cola. I said, man, ain't got no church here in Columbia. All the churches in Cola. Then we went looking one day. I'll never forget. We went looking, and I said to him, and we went looking for y'all's old church. I saw it. And I said, that church over there in West Cola. And so I said to somebody, I said, you know where West Cola is? You know how people started trying to figure it? He said, I think you keep going that way. Some of y'all new to Columbia, y'all can't laugh. You don't know. Cola is the abbreviation for Columbia. Didn't know that. And then this church, they were all the way over in West Cola. Okay? I didn't know any one from the other. But God, you start off with God, you get general directions without specific directives. And as you go, as you obey him, now watch this. Because watch this. It's no, how many of y'all know if God told you everything from the beginning, it will overwhelm you. You would run. If God, if those of you don't have a lot of children, if you said, the Lord said, now you're gonna have 5 children, not me. You were like, let's tie this up right now. We ain't gonna go down that road. Okay? Because you can't receive where you are, or you can't receive where you're going many times where you are. So God got to take you step by step. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. And as you go, because God says, no sense in me telling you the end if you won't follow me in the beginning. So I'm going to tell you step by step. Otherwise, you're going to get overwhelmed. So he starts off, but notice here, and God gives him a hint. He uses this word here in Genesis 12 and 4. He says, Genesis 12 and 3. And in thee, or through thee, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, the interesting thing is here, when you hear family, most of us, we're not merely just thinking about spouse. You think of extended family and usually think of children. So God tells them, God uses the term families when he doesn't have a family. As a matter of fact, he tells them, leave your family. I'm going to make something new of you. Okay. And so I don't think Abraham fully understood that. And so we know Lot goes with him, and then there's strife in the land and all that. And after Abraham Lot separates from him, God starts talking to him again. Pick up here in Genesis, the 13th chapter and verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot was left from him, lift up now your eyes, look from the place where you are, look northward, southward, eastward, and westward, all the land that thou seest. Watch this. He gives him another hint of his future. He says, to thee will I give it, and to who? And to thy seed. What is seed talking about? His children. He doesn't have one child. He's 75. And God just talks. God just says this like the man already got children. Because that's how God is. He calls those things that be not as though they were. So God speaks to him. He says, I'm going to give you this, all the land you see. Then he says, I'm going to give it to your seed forever. Verse 16, I'm going to make your seed as the dust of the earth. And if a man can number the dust of the earth, that's how many seed you're going to have. Arise, walk through it. I'm going to give it to you. And so God tells him, first time he says family, he starts talking again. He starts talking about seed. He still doesn't have a child. And God's trying to give him glimpses of his future. And then he says to him, you're not only going to have seed. See, I'm going to tell you how many seed you're going to have. He said, count the stars. If you can see, count the stars. That's how many seed you're going to have. Look at the sand. Count the sand grains. That's how many seed you have, how many descendants and children you're going to have. And I really don't believe that it was completely registering to Abraham the magnitude of what God was saying. Because I believe God can speak things to you. It means something to your spirit. You just got to let it marinate in your spirit, because in your mind it makes no sense. And then when things come back later, you realize, oh, that's been in my spirit for years, but I ain't said nothing about it. I didn't tell anybody about it, but this is that. What God has spoken to me about. So Abraham, he didn't end up where he started. He got the point of being fully persuaded. But God first tell him, families, they start telling them seed. Now let's pick up here in Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, starting at verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision and said, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Now let me stop here for a moment. Now, if Abraham fully embraced everything that God was saying, he would not have this response. So now God starts revealing to him that I am a rewarder. I am your, if you look at other translations, I'm your compensation. God tells Abraham, you're about to get paid. You done put your time in, and payday about to come after a while here. Okay? He said, I'm your seed and great reward. And I didn't realize this till I was teaching this at noon. And Abraham said, Lord, what would thou give me? He's really saying, God, ain't nothing you can give me. I don't even have a child. He's really saying, there's nothing you can give me but a child. What you going to give me? Seeing I go childless. And then, watch this. He said, and the heir or the steward of my house, this is this Eliezer of Damascus. Now, what he's really saying, Eliezer, the steward of my house, the person who manages all my affairs, he going to get all my stuff. But he says, he refers to him as this Eliezer, like he's almost dissing him, this Eliezer guy. But at the same time, we know that Eliezer had to be somebody important. Because if you don't have any children, you don't leave all your stuff to just some random person. Eliezer had to be somebody important to him. Y'all follow me here. Eliezer had to be somebody dear to him. Eliezer had to be the closest person to him next to a child. But compared to a child, he kind of dismisses it. I got this Eliezer. That's how badly he wants a child. And God says, I'm your exceeding great reward. Your great reward. He said, I'm going to bless you. He said, hey, what you going to bless me? I don't have a child. The only way you can bless me is by giving me a child. And he's almost like diminishing, like, well, we know that ain't going to happen. Why? Because I'm 75. So he had given up on the promises. But we still know that eventually he became what? Fully persuaded. That what God had promised, he was able to perform. Are y'all with me here? So watch this here. He said, you give me, verse 3, to me you've given me no seed, and lo, this one born, the one I mentioned to you before, Eliezer, in my house, that's my heir. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but that shall come forth out of your own bowels. That's talking about over out of your own reproductive system. From your own sperm, you're going to have a child. That's going to be your heir. And verse 5, he brings him out again. He brings him out again. This is the second time he did this, right? We just saw this. Obviously, Abraham didn't get it. He brings him out again. He brought him and said, now look now towards the heaven. Remember, I told you, count the stars. Didn't I tell you this? If you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your seed be. And now we get to the first place that we really see some faith starting to grow. We know he had to believe God to some degree because he left when God told him to leave and went looking for a place that he didn't know where he was going. But now his faith is increasing. And verse 6 says, now he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Are y'all with me here? So God's shown him pictures, but he ain't fully persuaded yet. So, and in this case, he goes back, gives him the same picture again. Come on back outside again. Look at those stars again. That's what I told him before. Sometimes God got to keep showing you the same picture, because you go through so many things in life that you cause you to lose your focus. God said, now look at this again. Look at this again. That's why one of the faith principles that they talk about, that we often have taught, is that you get a picture of your future. You get a picture of your future. I almost don't like to share this because I don't want y'all to get limited to material things. But years ago, Sister Bridget, who's over at hospitality ministry, she was working for Colonia at the time, and they were downsizing, they were getting rid of all kinds of stuff. And she said, well, Pastor, they get rid of all kinds of stuff, and they were giving away stuff and selling stuff and whatever. And I remember going by there, several things, but I don't even know where that picture is today. If any of y'all, my staff, find it, if it's around in my office somewhere, please give me my picture back. Maybe I gave it to somebody. But it was this picture. It was in a little cheap frame, and it showed this nice, luxurious house on water. It had a luxury car and a sports car and a boat. At that time, I was renting. The picture just looked nice to me. And I got that picture and I hung it up in my office. Just made me feel good. I like water anyway. And then several years later, I was sitting in my office and I looked up at that picture. And I said, everything that's in that picture has manifested in my life. I wasn't meditating on that picture, but I believe that picture was creating an image on the inside of me. Whenever God wants to take you somewhere, he gives you a picture.
Are you fully persuaded that God's promises will manifest in your life? God wants your faith to be unshakable, regardless of the challenges you may be facing. Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages you to take your faith to another level in this powerful series. Order today for your love gift of $30 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for unshakable faith. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.